Welcome, everybody, to the latest and greatest edition of the Take the Shot podcast. Your boy Teddy is here. Your boy Zay is here. And we are ready to talk about what has happened over the past couple weeks in sports and mainly a lot of March Madness. That's all we've been watching over this past couple weeks. But before we get into all that good, juicy topic of conversation, Teddy, man, how you doing?
What up, man? I'm good, man. Just living a dream. Had a good Easter. You know, I've watched probably 97 hours of basketball between the men and women's tournament. So, I mean, it could be worse. It can't be much better. So, you know, living a dream. How about you?
Been pretty good, man. Been pretty good. Also had a pretty good Easter with the fam. Played a little basketball too. I realized that once again, to get my cardio up. I was feeling froggy after watching all this March Madness over the past couple weeks, and I woke up the next morning, back was hurting. So,
oh yeah,
we're fine now though. It's all good. I'm just reminded to enjoy what I'm watching because not everybody in this world can do that stuff that those people do on that court. Just remember that, people, when you're watching these athletes, you go out there and try to do it. It's tougher than it looks. But yeah, it's been a great past couple weeks. Also got to watch a ton of basketball. But let's go ahead and lead into what the biggest topic of conversation is around college basketball. It happened on Monday night. Iowa versus LSU. What a game. Fun game to watch. It's always a better game when the stars show out. And Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark both showed out, man. Caitlin Clark from asinine range, just hitting threes. And Angel Reese finished the game with 20 rebounds, a beast on the boards. It's always great when both athletes are at their best in a game like this. Caitlin Clark, during the game, broke the all-time D1 three-point total and the tournament all-time three-point made total. So shout-out to her. Caitlin Clark, obviously one of the greatest college basketball player, period, of all time. And is continuing on as Iowa beat LSU, obviously 94-87, to advance to the Final Four. What a game. As I was watching it, man, I felt like Iowa was in control for the most part. I know in the second quarter, I think LSU pulled away a little bit. But, man, once once they decided to keep Van Lith as the primary ball defender on Caitlin Clark, I knew it was over, man. Caitlin Clark was dicing that girl. It was ridiculous. The step back threes. Every time she came off a screen, Van Lith couldn't keep up. Another three. Iowa looked great. I think they were great in transition as well, which was LSU's strength, which was a little bit surprising. They actually flipped that around on them and got quite a few fast break buckets. They were hitting their threes. Their defense was great on the inside against Murrow and Reese. Iowa played a great game. I enjoyed watching that basketball game. That may be one of the most enjoyable women's college basketball games I've ever watched. That was awesome. Watched it from beginning to end. And shout out to both teams for showing up. Shout out to them being competitive and not making it really chippy and not being unsportsmanlike. It was good, hard basketball, and I loved seeing it. But yeah, Iowa's going to move on to the Final Four. And Teddy, what are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. Obviously, my in-laws are LSU alums, so they were disappointed. So was my wife. It kind of comes down to, I feel like Mulkey kind of led into how they played them last year, and it was like this Iowa team was a little bit better than that Iowa team, yes, that made the national title last year. They kind of stymied Clark in that game. But someone mentioned this yesterday is, so to get to the Final Four last year, Iowa beat a team, Louisville Lady Cardinals. Caitlin Clark had 43 points. I don't know if you remember who was on that team, but her name was Haley Van Lith.
Yep.
So you got to look at it and be like, listen, Haley's a scorer first. She's one of my favorite players, so I'm not going to be negative on her. She had a bad game.
Oh,
She
yeah.
did.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to know, and that's kind of like the Achilles all year of LSU is they only play like 6 to 7 people. And Mikayla Williams is their backup, like shooting guard, point guard, but she's a true freshman. So, like, that would be a task to ask her to come in and kind of play on Caitlin Clark. So they were kind of stymied, but after getting just cooked, and especially becoming a meme where Haley just shrugs after
The three.
Caitlin just hits that logo three, it's kind of like you gotta give her some help. Like the problem was is every time the pick and roll was coming, or a pick play,
Yeah, she was
like
cooked.
the front court was sagging off. Like Angel and them needed to kind of play up more. Like them girls in the paint weren't doing nothing. I mean, they LSU out rebounded Iowa like 3-1. So it's like they weren't really like on both ends, offensive and defensive end. Angel was hot in the first half. She, I think, missed a ton of shots in the second and then fouled out. And that's when Iowa kind of took over, was in like that. They came out and they could not miss. I think Caitlin hit like three threes in a row, on three straight possessions, was just on fire, literally. I mean, they exercised the demon of getting revenge, but I also was like, all right, that's cool, but that's in the Elite Eight. Like, that don't mean nothing. The job's not done. So, it was a great game by Clark. I still think I don't think they can win at all because they're basically, if Caitlin Clark doesn't score 35 to 40 points, they're not going to win in any of these next two games. I think now this game coming up, because I don't know if you watched the next game afterwards.
Yeah.
That was a
You
great game as well.
Paige Breakers, or what's her
Yeah.
name? Yo,
Beckers.
Beckers.
Pate, yeah, she
Yo.
is to me.
Yo, she could ball.
To me, she's the best all around player in women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark's by far the best scorer and shooter, but I think Beckers is way better defensively than Clark is. So I'm excited to see that matchup and see how if she can give even limit. Like if you limit Caitlin to like 25, 30 points, I know that sounds ridiculous. You're probably gonna win that game. Especially if Paige matches her. But before jumping ahead, that USC UConn game, even though it kind of got, kind of ended up like the Iowa LSU game towards the end where they pushed, the first three quarters were amazing.
Yeah.
In that game, the back and forth between Juju Watson, which the future's bright for USC, she's a true freshman, she was amazing. But you kind of saw it was literally just Juju and no one else. Like that team had no one else around them. Like
Yeah.
they got to hop in that transfer portal or hopefully have some recruits come in because they basically got overwhelmed and overpowered in that second half by Gino and his team, who's a little bit older. I mean,
Yeah.
Paige is a junior. Aaliyah Edwards is I believe she's a sophomore or junior too. So it was kind of one of those that veteran leadership kind of took over towards the end. But that was a phenomenal game too. So I'm excited for both the Final Four games. South Carolina though, they're gonna blow out. I still think it's South Carolina versus the world. But anything can happen.
Yeah. And let's go back to Iowa LSU. And I like your point about Kim Mulkey being a little bit disappointing in her strategy and trying to use what they did last year, even though Iowa was a better team. Did you see the video and the meme of her in the huddle drawing up the play? And Kelly, oh, okay. So there's a video of in the last like minute of her drawing up a play, and Van Lith and all the girls are looking at her like, what, with this blank stare. And Van Lith was like, says like, what are we supposed to do? Like, what am I supposed to do? And like Angel Reese and Morrow, the two bigs, just like walk away. and everyone just kind of leaves the huddle not knowing of anything what they're supposed to do. So they have their own huddle on the court and make their own play. So it was very telling
Wow.
in that video. It's very clear. Like you see the expression, all the girls' faces are like, what? They have no idea what Kim Mulkey is telling them to do as she's drawing on the whiteboard. And then she just finishes and they go back on the court and make their own play. I'll try to send you the video. It's on Twitter. You may be able to find it or I can send it to you. But yeah, it is not a good indictment of
That's not a
Kim
good look.
Mulkey. No, it's not. The players didn't know what to do after a timeout when they had possession in the ball. Like that's not good at all. And
That's wild.
I think what they could have did too to stymie Caitlin Clark more is because I think in the beginning, Mulkey saw that Van Lith was not guarding her well. So he had put in Poa to try to be a little bit more physical with Clark, but Poa can't really shoot and she's not an offensive threat. So she had to try to balance, do I put Poa in or do I keep Van Lith in to get in Caitlin Clark's face? I think from the beginning though, she should have put Flo-Jae Johnson on Caitlin Clark more often. Like I
Yeah,
get
I
she's the
mean,
best defender on your team, best perimeter defender on your team, and I get you want her for her offense, but this is to go to the Final Four, man.
yeah.
You got to balance it out. At least switch off more often. Like from at least after the first quarter, you've got to bring Flo-Jae in and have her guard Caitlin Clark more.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Flo-Jae because she was the second best player by far, I think. I think she played better than Angel Reese in totality. I mean, I know Angel Reese had a double double and, she breaking records with how many double doubles she has. But I felt like Flo-Jae was more disciplined, and I think that was the biggest mistake. I think it hit the nail on the head. Obviously, she probably should have Mulkey should probably put Flo-Jae on Caitlin way sooner. Just to give Van Lith a break. I mean, there were some things that like, and I'm gonna be a defendant of Van Lith. Like I said, she had a bad game, but there were some things like, ain't nobody like t even like the best women's player like Taurasi or whatever. Like you ain't, there's nothing you could do on some of those shots that she took and some of those shots that she made. Like I mean, she made some difficult shots. There were times though where Van Lith is just she's not a defender. Like that's the thing. She's one of the best pure scorers in women's basketball,
And that's on
but she,
Mulkey. That's what
yeah,
she's
that's what
got
I'm
to
saying.
know. She's got to know her personnel. I was like, what are you doing? There's only one player you have to stop. Like, if you're not gonna help Van Lith, at least trap. I would have been perfectly fine if you say, you know what? I want to keep Van Lith on there, but we're trapping the pick and roll. We're trapping the pick and roll. Make Caitlin pass it to the big, and we'll play from there. Like
Yeah, that's
something.
why I was confused. That's why I was confused of everyone sagging off like that. That did not make any sense to me when she was sagging off of like all the front court was, or it, oh yeah, all the front court were like sagging down back towards the rim. It's like contest the shot. Like all you got to do is take one or two steps back to the basket. Like I with bigs are not very athletic. Let's be honest. Like they ain't gonna touch Morrow or Reese or Flo-Jae. Like they're not touching anything. That was the crazy thing. It was like it literally was like one. It was Iowa had one other girl who went off, the blonde headed girl. I can't remember her name, but she was very good. It was literally
Oh,
like
the
it was two.
24,
Yeah, it
the
was
yeah.
2 on 5. It was literally 2 on 5. Their coach did nothing different. She was just like basically run the offense through Caitlin. If 24 is wide open, give it to her. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah,
And
that.
Mulkey just, I don't know. She just either didn't have the answer or didn't want to have the answer. I just thought it was gonna be a repeat of last year. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a bad coaching job. I'm a little bit harder on Van Lith, but actually hearing your statement on it and how the game played out and replaying it in my own head, the coach kind of hung her out to dry, right? It was very clear from the beginning that some players like it's fine. She's not a good a defender. Caitlin Clark is one of the best shooters of all time in all of basketball. So yeah, she's struggling to guard her. She's not the first one in the entire 4 years Caitlin's been there to have that problem. So if you see that, you have to make an adjustment. And That's I think that should be more of a fair assessment than putting it all on Van Litt. She tried to do her best what she was asked to do, and she couldn't really pull it off. And I think another big factor that happened too is in that second quarter when Angel Reese rolled her ankle. I think after that happened, the whole dynamic of the game changed because she was nowhere near. She became a ghost in that second half. She was nowhere to be found, I think, because in that second quarter, she goes out of bounds and rolls her ankle and then goes to the sidelines and like gets it retaped or whatever. But then at halftime, you know that ankle stiffened up and started to swell. And if she's not coming out the game, of course, this is obviously one of the biggest games of her life. And she was nowhere to be found. So I hate that that don't happen, unfortunately. Not making any excuses for her, but that could have been a contributing factor.
Oh, she asked. I mean, I don't want to say she sucks. That's too harsh of a word. She just wasn't the same afterwards. She was like 4 for like 17 in the second half. Like,
She started 6 for 8. She's not like 6 for 8, 6 for 9 or something, like killing them. But yeah,
yeah. She
it
was bodying old Salicki or whatever, Hannah Salicki. And shout out Gabby Marshall's number 24. That's who was the other one who was kind of getting hers. In the second half too, along with Clark, because then they kind of started kind of having a double team or kind of shadow Clark a little bit, and then it left Gabby open and she got some too. Yeah, I just think it was a bad coach job all around, by Mulkey.
And then I've got the transition to this, right? So I agree. So Kim Mulkey did not do well from a coaching perspective, in my opinion, in this game, because she had you could say more talent across the board than Iowa, maybe not as much depth, but I think she relied on just the athleticism of her team to just win the game. Like it's that I hate to say it, kind of that Doc Rivers in the playoffs. Ain't drawing up nothing. Just go out there and win the game, and that's not gonna work. But now going to some of the little bit touchier subject, we have to talk about it. It's Take the Shot podcast. So we're taking shots. Angel Reese, after the game, after they lost, was shedding some tears at the press conference and expressed how much weight she was carrying in regards to. She had gotten death threats. People were saying that she was a loser ever since that national title win, and she's been getting a lot of hate. Her teammates defended her, Flo-Jay Johnson and Haley Van Lith, saying that she's an awesome person off the court. She wears her, she's a queen, wears the crown. She doesn't show all that she's carrying out behind the scenes, et cetera, et cetera. And Angel Reese, obviously expressed like, she was tired and, emotionally drained and all that. And it caused a firestorm, right? It caused a firestorm on Twitter, caused a firestorm on the sports talk radio, because everyone's saying, Caitlin Clark, you can't, I'm sorry, Angel Reese, you can't play the villain. And then when you lose and everyone like laughs at you, you can't start crying and say how hard it is. It was a very interesting 24 hours after that, watching everybody digest it. So I want to hear your take, Teddy. So what do you think? Was her crying too much and she should have been like, get over it, you asked for this, or are you a little more sympathetic?
I mean, I don't think anyone really asked for this. I don't think she ever honestly played out to be the villain. I mean, everyone has feelings. I don't care if you want to act as a villain or not. Death threats are stupid. They're childish. You got keyboard warriors. So that's gonna affect you. But if it's kind of hard without bringing the obvious into this, because I feel like if it was flipped and no one really says, and a lot of people lately have kind of come out, not the mainstream media, it's more like the B list, like the Barstools, the Deadspins, the medias like that. Caitlin Clark's an asshole. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
they're flat out an asshole. Like, but when she does it, it's kind of like, that's that fire, that's this, that. And I'm not trying to play that game, because I also think I don't give a fuck what skin color you are. Like, you should be able, like, you shouldn't have to be a robot. Like, either way. And this manufactured rivalry of them, like the media made out, like because Angel did the ring thing and then the "you can't see me" shit. I mean, no one, I had a problem with it last year because no one really gave Caitlyn shit for doing that to Hayley Van Lith in the fucking Elite Eight.
Yep,
Like, she
against
did
Louisville.
exact same stuff. So it's kind of like pot calling the kettle. Reese leaned into it though. So when you lean into
True,
something,
true.
you got, and I'm not saying she had every right to be upset, especially the death threat stuff. You're gonna get called a loser. So that kind of, you got to deal with it. But we gotta remember these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. It's not like
Yep,
they're
that was
grown
my
adults.
big point, because I was like, listen, this is a 21-year-old woman. Like, Angel Reese right now is 21 years old and has had the probably biggest spotlight in her entire life on her. And I think she did lean into playing the villain, but I don't think she, I mean, she knew to an extent what came with that, but you really don't. You're a 21-year-old kid. Like, I'm thinking when I was 21 and I would, you're just doing stuff, right? You think you're invincible and everything else. And she did lean into it. I mean, she thinks like, yeah, I can just do whatever. I'm invincible, da da da. And then she loses. And I think the crying part was more just an effect of the loss, right? She was already getting emotional when the buzzer rang and she was going through the lines, giving handshakes to the Iowa team. But she was already emotional. And I think all that kind of just came to the forefront at the podium. And yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a definite double standard when it comes to competitiveness and trash talking when it comes to Caitlin and Angel Reese. I mean, let's be 100% honest on that. Everyone says LSU is the dirty debutantes and they're arrogant and they're, whatever else. And it's projected a lot of times as good versus evil, which I hate. Let's just put it out there what people a lot of times are thinking. And that's not the case at all. These are women playing basketball, and both of them have a ton of respect for each other between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I had no issue with it. I don't think people should have jumped on it as much as they did. It's someone who's put their entire season up to this point on the line, been hurt, battled, and then you lost, right? And so you're going to be emotional after that. She's a 21-year-old woman. So a very young woman at this point who's very passionate, obviously. She's high on the highs and low on the lows. So that's what comes with the territory. So I didn't like the fact that everyone really jumped on it so much, saying, ha, you're crying now, even though you wanted to be the villain, but now you can't cry, you're not allowed to do that. You better suck it up. Da-da-da. Like, no, that's not the case. She's 21 years old and just lost in the Elite Eight after getting hurt and putting the best, trying to play the best game of her life. Like, relax. Like, I hate to say it, but in the Rogers, RELAX, relax. Like, I don't think there's really a need to jump on her all about that. And just because she shared her experience about receiving all these threats and stuff, it's not her copping out. It's just saying what her experience was. I don't think, of all people, I don't think Angel Reese is the kind of person who even asked for, I don't need your sympathy or pity or whatever like that. At least I wouldn't think so from what I saw. But she was expressing her experience. That was it. And her teammates had her back. So I think that spinning it into a lot of what the mainstream media did of, oh, well, she just can't, she can dish it out, but can't take it. Dish up. Like, that's not the case. She'll line up any day of the week and try to play it out. She's not the kind of person that's gonna, from what I've seen, like I said, I don't know this person, but from what I've seen, she's not the kind of person that wants your pity. It's just it's her expressing what she's felt through the whole season or since the national title. That's it. That's it, y'all. That's
I
it.
mean, I think if she would have came out and said that on like Twitter, like today or yesterday, I think it would be a little bit different. I don't think the heat would necessarily be on as much. But I think doing it right after, probably people are just in that moment and all that stuff. And
Yeah, and Iowa fans are at the time poking fun at LSU fans saying, ha, we beat you, we got you back. Y'all suck, da da da. And it's just being sports fans. And then they see that and it just added fuel to the fire of, oh, look at that. Your star is crying. Ha ha ha. Y'all are really bad. She's a loser. Da da da. She dished it out, can't take it. She's playing the victim now, whatever. And I'm like, y'all doing too much for me. For me, it was just a non-starter when I saw all the stuff. I was like, y'all, just relax, man. Y'all just, you're in the Final Four. Could she have handled it better? Probably, you know, she held her composure and said those things would have been different. But she's 21 years old. Dude, everybody listened to this show, and me and Teddy can attest, when you were 21, were you completely emotionally mature? Like,
Dude,
let's be.
I'm 34. I don't know if I'm completely emotionally mature yet. So no, I mean absolutely not. Like, I mean, there were some times I wanted to be the bad guy, and then I was in my feelings when, it came
People,
back to me. So like,
exactly.
yeah, I mean it's just part of life, part of growing up, but it's, we don't know what these people go through or deal with because, they kind of ask for it and they kind of don't, especially now in the world of social media. Like
For
10 years
sure.
ago, you didn't really have to deal with a lot of this stuff, but now you do. And it's, social media should be something that you kind of go to unwind and all that, not, to have to get yourself riled up or receive death threats or anything like that. So, I feel for her both ways. It's a learning experience, but she just needs to block out all the negativity and kind of just do her own thing and then decide if she wants to leave or come back. Because she hasn't declared yet, like Caitlyn has. So she had time to digest and do what she wants, I guess, from here.
The ball's in her court, literally. But I'm not, obviously, just my final thought on it is I'm not absolve, excuse me, I'm not absolving her of, saying that she lost or, she was playing the victim card too much or what, all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that she couldn't have handled it better, but I think mainstream media could back off a little bit on the 21-year-old who won SEC Player of the Year. So, but we're not talking about teams that have been eliminated anymore. Let's talk about the current women's Final Four lineup. We've got NC State versus South Carolina, and you mentioned it before, blockbuster, UConn versus Iowa, two of the top scorers in women's college basketball going head to head. So let me know, all right, who wins each game and who wins the national title, Teddy? You're on the clock, you're on the record. Who you got?
I'm still gonna go with the team that's, they had one of their closest calls against Indiana and they still won by 9. I think South Carolina's the most complete team. Cardoza is gonna have her way with NC State and whoever comes out of the Iowa UConn game. South Carolina in the first game, and then by the way, the games are on Friday. So we have Friday ball, we have Saturday, we have
All night.
Sunday national championship, and then Monday national championship. The other man, I'm gonna go with UConn. I think UConn's a better team. Juno Auriemma is a way better coach, in my
Oh, yeah.
opinion. Like I said earlier, I think Paige Bueckers is the most complete player in the nation. So while it doesn't make really sense, Caitlin's probably the best player, best scorer, I think Beckers can stymie her enough. I think Aaliyah Edwards will have her way in the paint, as long as they stay out of foul trouble, because UConn is thin. They have like 5 people out for the season, so they really only play 6 players, 6 to 7 players. I think UConn gets it done. And I think it's UConn, South Carolina national championship, and I think South Carolina is just, I think they're on a revenge tour for getting knocked out last year in the Final Four. They're undefeated. Dawn Staley's the best coach in probably both men and women besides Dan Hurley. So I'm going to go with the best team and I'm going to go with the best coach. So I'm going with South Carolina. I don't necessarily think it's going to be close in the end in
Ooh.
either of their 2 games.
Okay.
I just think they're that good. I mean, their toughest test in the regular season was LSU. They ended up beating them by 12. So I mean, I think they beat either team by 7 to 12 points in the national title game. I don't think the NC State game is going to be particularly close. I would not shock me if they won by 20. It would absolutely floor me if they lost or won by like 3 points. It would be. So that's my thing. I think South Carolina's the best team by far.
It's hard to argue with that. I've got South Carolina beating NC State too. NC State's been a magical run, but South Carolina is just that much better. I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said about that team. UConn versus Iowa, that's going to be a great game. I also agree that UConn wins, just because they have a better big. I was not familiar with UConn's game. I'll be fair until I saw them last night, in the Elite Eight game against USC. It was they Paige Bueckers is the truth. And they've got a solid big down there. I think better than Iowa's front court. So I'm gonna definitely take UConn here, and I think Paige can match Caitlin point for point. So I think that's gonna be end up being a wash, and it's gonna be the people around them. And I'll take UConn's starting five over Iowa's starting five. So UConn versus South Carolina in a national title. Man, I want to pick the upset. I really, really want to pick the upset and have UConn over South Carolina, but I just can't do it. If my bracket has taught me anything this year, sometimes a team is just better, Zay, and you just got to take the number one seed. So I'm going to take the overall better team here, and I'm going to go South Carolina also wins the national title. I think the UConn game will be closer because Paige is going to make sure that it stays close on that national title stage. I would see South Carolina winning by six, maybe something like that, six or seven, over UConn, and yeah, hoisting the trophy at the end of the year. But you're right with the revenge tour part. Like Dawn Staley's like, I'm not letting this happen to my players again. We're not losing that kind of focus. And up to this point, I haven't seen anyone devise a game plan enough to stop South Carolina for four quarters, right? You've seen them go down early in games in the first half or whatever, and they've been down by as much as 12, 13 in like the SEC tournament, but they've come back. They've come back and won those games somehow. So the only way you can beat South Carolina is to put them in enough of a hole when they're sleepwalking in the first part of the game to where they can't come back. That's your only shot. And if you stick with them point for point after halftime, it's a wrap. They're going to pull away. So I agree with you. I've got South Carolina winning it all and Dawn Staley and them hoisting the women's college basketball trophy. And now on to the men's tournament. Man, before we had the Final Four. The Final Four is UConn versus Alabama and then NC State versus Purdue. Before we get into all that though, I do want to say my favorite tournament moment, or one of them. I would say I probably have two. Oh, it's my favorite game. Definitely, I think the game of the tournament was U of H and Texas A&M. That
Oh,
game
yeah,
was
absolutely.
wild. When it was Garcia, I think it was, who hit that three at the buzzer. Oh my God. Like that game was amazing. I think that's my tournament game of the year so far. Before we get to these final four games, a close second would maybe be, can't think of it right now. I had one, but I can't think of it. Should have wrote it down. But for sure, Houston to Texas A&M is my game of the year. So do you agree so far in the tournament? Is that the game of the
Yeah, I
year?
mean that was fantastic game. I didn't watch it, but from what I heard, because I was actually watching the Wicked musical last Saturday, I missed the last game. The Alabama Clemson game I heard was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of just going back and forth in the threes. Tennessee Purdue was good till the end, till no one wanted to help Dalton connect.
Yeah, I was gonna say that game was good, but the ending was anticlimactic for me. But it was
Yeah,
good
I
throughout.
mean, it was Dalton connect versus Purdue. Like no one decided to show up for Tennessee. It kind of went out with a whimper in the last 5 minutes. So probably those two games. There wasn't a lot of upsets outside the first round, and obviously NC State, I mean, they went from basically they're on what a 10 game winning streak because they had to win five in a row to get to the tournament, ACC tournament. They had to hit a buzzer beater three to send the game into overtime against Virginia to even get here in the semifinals.
I think
So
Alabama, North Carolina was good too, I think.
Alabama, North
Okay.
Carolina was good. That was one of the games where it was like everyone couldn't miss, and then kind of towards the end, Alabama was just lights out from three. They're dangerous because if they hit their threes, they're hard to beat. They're one of the best shooting 3-point shooting teams in the nation. So I'm excited for that game. I still think UConn's the best team by far. I mean, they've killed everyone. They were, there was a five, what was it, a 2-point lead with 2 minutes left, and they went on a 5-0 run or a 8-0 run to end the half. And then they come out and score 23 in a row to go basically on a 30-0 run. And then that game was over. I just think they're the best defensive team by far. I don't really care who they play until someone gets them in a close battle. I really think both of these games are going to be non-competitive, and it kind of sucks to say that because it's the Final Four. But I think UConn runs out Alabama because I don't think Alabama's going to shoot that well. And then on the other side, I hate to say it, Zach Edey's playing amazing. He's playing himself into the first round of the draft, which is crazy to me, because he's a defensive liability. The problem is there's no one in NCAA that can guard him. And
Okay, but we have
DJ Burns ain't that guy either. He's not
no,
a defensive player, and he's
no, and he's
way
not a
shorter.
yeah.
So.
Can we talk about how Teddy has called the two biggest losers of the NFL and college basketball, and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl and Purdue's in the Final Four.
Well, I mean, a Purdue sake, like they just call fouls on every like Zach Edey. I'm still in a staunch believer. Like he's gonna make the NBA just because of his run, but he's gonna get quickly exposed of he can't play defense, and
He can't move
Karl-Anthony
laterally.
Towns will eat him alive.
Oh yeah.
Shit, Rudy
The answer.
Gobert can eat him alive in the paint, and Rudy Gobert is probably a way better version of Edey.
Yeah, for sure. The Anthony
That's the thing.
Davises, the Joel Embiids are going to eat him alive, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not gonna be a starter. He's probably gonna make his living being somebody off the bench that gives you like he would be perfect on Minnesota because he could spell either Cat or Gobert minutes when they need to rest, and he can just be in the paint. The other thing is the what college needs to get away from is two, the men's need to go to quarters. I don't understand why they're the only one in any type of basketball that plays half still. It's stupid. I don't understand that. Like the women's moved away from the halves to quarters like 10 years ago. Like it's time to move on. But the problem with Edey in college basketball, why it's so hard to guard him, is because he can just stand in the paint because there's no defensive 3 seconds. Like if you had to pull that motherfucker out in the paint like you are in the NBA, he's going to be out of the league in 5 or 6 years minimum or maximum because you got to come out of the paint eventually, and he has no lateral movement unless he works on it. I just don't think you can't teach quickness.
Exactly. And he's not skilled enough from an offensive perspective, because I've watched him and he doesn't really have moves. He's just big, right? He catches the ball, keeps it high, turns around and just puts it over people, right? And he also can't, in what's the knock on him, right? Make him shoot over that, make him put his right shoulder into you and make him shoot with the left hand, right? If he drops, I forgot which, maybe I'm got that backwards. But anyway, he's weak on one side if he drops that shoulder and he doesn't make the shot as much. So he's not very skilled from an offensive perspective. And from a defensive perspective, he doesn't move laterally very well. So if an Embiid or an Anthony Davis or a Giannis is facing up on the block, like they're gonna blow right by this dude. He's gonna get dunked on. So I don't see his future much in the NBA. But I guess we're not talking about it right now. He could get a national title, and maybe that's as far as he goes, and that's the only ring he gets. But it is a ring. But yeah, I think that's a good breakdown too of him against Burns. Like, that's gonna be tough, man, for Burns. Like, he's gonna get I don't know what how they're gonna stop this matchup because even a double team or something like that, he's bigger than a double team, obviously, can pass out of that. Burns, I would say, is strong, but it's not really gonna matter if Edie's position is too deep in the paint to begin with. And he just jump hooks over him. And Burns, for his, for his sake, like, I don't know how he's gonna get the ball up over Edie. Like, to Edie can just stand in the paint, like you said. So the front court matchup is really bad for NC State. But I think everyone talks about from the beginning when it came to this Purdue team, it was guard play. Can NC State's guards neutralize that maybe and be better than Purdue's guards to cancel out Edie? Is that a possibility for NC State? Maybe.
I think that's the main thing I underestimated with Purdue is their guards are much, much better than they were last year. I think they're even ahead of schedule. So I mean, who knows with the Cinderella run? So like anything's all bets are off.
Right, one game.
And it's one game to get to the national title. So it could be, yes. They could stymie the guards enough to where they kind of nullifies Edie. I mean, because Edie had his way with Tennessee, he scored what 40. But I mean, he gets to the foul line at will because of the way he's just reffed. Which I mean, it really he gets reffed way unfairly, I think. Like they just assume every time he gets like banged on or hit, he's fouled, even when it's probably just body contact, and I don't think it warrants a foul. But that, I mean, that's the thing is their NC State's best player is DJ Burns. He's either not going to be able to guard him or he's going to have to lay off of him and not guard Edie as much because that's going to be the issue. And where it lies is if he gets in foul trouble, NC State's
It's
screwed.
cooked. Yeah, they're done. They're done. I don't know how Burns is going to get a shot up over Edie. I understand he has great feet. I've seen it, in action, but I mean, it's hard to just up and under every time a 7'4" dude, right? And try to get that ball up, especially when you're way shorter than he is. Oh, so I really want to pick NC State in this matchup, but I can't do it. Edie's just on a tear. He's just on a tear. He's got the mission going. You see it in his eyes. See it in your eyes. You're angry. that Zach Edey looks like he shot to win this national title. So yeah, I would say, probably say Purdue and UConn as well, meeting the national title. But no one can stop UConn. Maybe we knew this from the jump. We all knew this from the beginning of the season and going through the middle part, and then at the very end, that UConn was the team to beat. Even more so than Purdue, when everyone was trying to hype them up at the very beginning of the year. UConn, I mean, they haven't lost a tournament game by less than 13 points. That's ridiculous. That's not fair. That's like someone's playing on a different difficulty level than you in the game. Like, that's just insane. So I'm gonna take, yeah, between those two, if I have a hot Zach Edey and it's a completely dominant team who hasn't lost by less than 10, I'm gonna have to take the team and go with UConn and just have them roll to the national title. So it sounds like basically we are going chalk with the overall number one seeds winning the national title in both women and men's. Is that how I'm reading this? Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just gotta go with the best team,
Yeah, that's true. Tell that to my bracket when I had like every 11 seed beating the 6 seed, and then I had Baylor in the final four. Yeah, that was man. So,
Yeah, I mean, I'm cooked. All I got is UConn left, so I just need UConn to win
oh yeah, I'm
at this
cooked.
point.
I have no one. I got UConn right in the final four, and I had them losing. That's the only final four member I got right.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a quick. Jamal Shedd, like that sucked hardcore, him going down. And they almost won the game against Duke, and then it even hurts even worse seeing Duke just implode against NC
He
State in the
stayed.
Elite Eight.
Yeah, it was a tough game. I mean, I couldn't believe how much our off. I mean, yeah, like you said, when Chet got hurt and our offense just went nowhere. Like the defense is always there, it's working, but there was no scoring to be found. That game was very winnable. Game was very winnable. And then NC State, I think we'd have fared well against. But that's why it's a tournament, and that's why there's one game, right? Anything can happen in one game. For all we know, the national champion could be Alabama versus NC State. Could be the national championship for all we know. Anything can happen in one game. So that was tough. That was tough to see him go down for U of H's run to end like that. My national champion, you're out. It's over.
Yeah, that's it's definitely, yeah, I thought it was going to be their year with their team, but the injury was just too much. Kind of sucks. But I
What?
mean, I'm excited. I'm probably most excited for the UConn Iowa game and then
Yeah, for
probably
sure.
the UConn Alabama game. I don't really see either NC State game being competitive. I'd say I think Purdue's going to end up in a national title game against UConn, but I think that's where it ends. I think UConn is by far the best team. But anything can happen. I just don't think I think they fall short of what Virginia did, losing to 16 the year before, then coming back and winning the national title.
Yeah.
I think just UConn will just their guards are just way too much for Purdue's guards, I think.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I agree. And shout out to the NC State and UConn basketball programs, man. What a run, both in the
Yeah,
Final
first time
Four.
ever. First time
Yeah.
ever. Two different teams get to the Final Four.
That is crazy. Talk about recruitment, man. They're gonna be awash in new talent coming in wanting to go to those schools, man. That's two great basketball programs, two great ones. All right, we're gonna see coming up. So the first one's on Friday with the women's, and we will see how the Final Four shakes out. To some other sports, to the NFL. We got to do it. I got to do it. Just an update on NFL stuff. Draft day is approaching, April 25th. There's been a lot of rumors and speculation. We've had the combine. We've had pro days. Caleb Williams is going to the Bears. The Washington Commanders are going to trade up to get him. There's all these rumors and everything else. Has anyone's draft stock changed in your mind? Do you think better or worse of any of these quarterbacks? The Drake Mays, the JJ McCarthys, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Any of them gone up? Any of them gone down? Bo Nix, Michael Penix.
I mean, everyone's obsessed with Penix, or not Penix. He is moving up though. I think he'll get drafted in the second round probably. I mean, they're saying now JJ is not gonna fall further than five or six. Someone
Oh,
will either trade
God.
up.
No.
I still think the first three quarterbacks in order is gonna be Caleb to the Bears. I mean, I don't
Jaden.
know what the thing is, I don't know who the Patriots take it to. I don't know if they're gonna go with Drake. I think they're leaning towards Jaden Daniels. There's a lot of, like, I see a lot of people trying to talk like they're out on Jaden Daniels. Like, y'all are idiots. Like, I heard like Giants players, like they're trying to talk themselves into JJ McCarthy. Bro, take JJ McCarthy all you want, Giants, and to have Daniel Jones 2.0,
Oh,
but worse, in my opinion.
that
I think
quarterback
that is
room.
one, yeah, that's going to be one of the worst draft picks. And I've been wrong lately, but I really, really think he hasn't made any throws that makes me think, all right, he played in this specific offense. He
I
didn't have
didn't
to
throw the
do much.
ball. Yeah, I didn't throw the
Yeah, but he
ball.
didn't have to do. But the throws he did make didn't make me think that, oh, he can make the high level throws of the you need in the pros. So I think it's a weird draft. But I think his stock has risen the most. I think Malik Nabers he may go second. He may go second receiver taken. There's a possibility he may go one, just because he may be a little bit more athletic than Marvin Harrison Jr. first wide receiver taken. Yeah, he's one of the guys who's kind of risen up. I think one of the best defenders, Dallas Turner, right now is kind of who the Falcons are pegged to take, which I'm okay with that. We do need some lineman help. So, we'll see.
I mean, and also just I didn't even put it on here. The Eagles trading Reddick was interesting, but I kind of see. I know I just kind of shifted gears here, but that just kind of gives me a better idea of what the Eagles plan on doing on draft day. We're definitely trying to retool this defense again, even though our last two picks have been. Defensive tackles with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. I still think they'll get, the play time that they need coming next season. N'Kobe Dean at linebacker has proven to be pretty much a bust at this point. Has been able to stay healthy, has been able to stay on the field overall. So we're gonna probably go D lineman again and linebacker at this draft. So I haven't seen really the draft board for those two positions yet, but I think that's what the Eagles will go. But I agree with you on the QB part to get back on track here. I believe
Yo, breaking NFL news. Sorry to interrupt you.
what happened?
Bills finalizing a trade to send Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for draft pick compensation.
What?
Wow.
Oh man. Wow.
H-Town slow way down.
Wow, y'all heard it here first. Breaking news. Stephon Diggs to the Texans. Man, I mean
That's crazy.
I like it as a veteran player in that locker room, especially in the wide receiver room. As long as he can keep his head on straight, not complain about not getting the ball, this is a great acquisition for Houston, for sure. I think CJ Stroud is one of those dudes though that can hold the locker room together. I think he's got that locker room under control. I don't think he'll have a Josh Allen situation where they kind of butt heads Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. But man,
Wow.
wow.
Tate Dell coming back, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Joe
Diggs.
Mixon. Woo!
Ooh,
You gotta
yo.
get hyped if you're a Houston Texans fan for
Yeah,
sure.
CJ Stroud gonna be cooking, man. He's gonna lead the league in passing this year. Watch. Or he's gonna it's gonna be great. Oh my, like, wow, Stephon Diggs to the Texans? I didn't think they'd actually trade Stephon. Dang. Wow. And that's what I love about D'Amico Ryans too, being a defensive coach and letting his GM cook with this offensive stuff. Like Robert Saleh is the opposite with the Jets, right? All he wants is defensive talent, defensive talent, defensive talent. And yes, they have Garrett Wilson on the outside, but aside from that, he hasn't really gotten a lot of weapons for that offensive side of the ball. He just tries to run the show too tight of a ship on that defensive side. D'Amico
Yeah.
Ryans, totally different. Yo, give me all the offensive talent. Y'all do y'all thing. We're gonna have a top five defense. I love it. I love it. I love the dynamic. The Texans energy right now is so good. So good. Hey. All right. Well, Stephon Diggs go over 1,200 yards this year.
I mean, probably shit. CJ may throw for 6,000. Like, that's going to be crazy scary. If everyone stays healthy, that's a crazy offense.
Yes. And now all you do in the draft is make sure that O-line is nice and good. Make sure that O-line is straight. If that's good, the Texans offense is going to be scary. Could be best in the league. Could be the best
Yeah.
in the league, to be honest. Could be the best in the league. If CJ keeps on the trajectory he's going and you add that weapon, you have Mixon and Stephon Diggs. They to catch me some games this year. Ticket price is going to be wild though.
Yeah, ticket price is going to be insane.
Any other draft day thoughts or anything? Shout out to Teddy for the breaking news.
Nah, man. I mean, it's what? Is it the end of April is the draft?
Yep, April 25th.
I think I'll do simulate a couple more mocks in the next couple of weeks and see if anything changes. I think most of the pro days are over. I think that's kind of pretty locked in to what most people are going to do. It's just, I think the biggest thing is someone going to trade up? Like, are the Vikings going to trade up? are, will the Falcons take a flyer on Penix in the second, or Bo Nix probably, because he's a, I think they may be the same age. I don't know. Just you don't know how long Kurt. I mean, he's got 3 years, but and you have another quarterback, ready to go in the wing. So I mean, I'm excited. It's a pretty good draft. It's a pretty deep draft, comparably to the NBA draft, which is going to be absolutely horrible.
Oh
But
God, yeah.
I mean, I think next couple weeks, and then obviously the week of, get more in depth on it involved for sure.
Nice. Yep, we surely will. And we'll be right here to give you all our thoughts and takes and all those picks. Finally, let's wrap it up with some NBA basketball as all these teams make their push to the playoffs. I thought it was interesting that the playoffs started today. It'd be the Warriors versus the Lakers in the 9v10 spot for the play-in game, which I thought was kind of hilarious. Who do you think one of those teams falls out? I know the Rockets were on a 10-game winning streak and now have fallen off. They almost caught the Warriors. They're 3 games back of that 10 spot. I think it'd be hilarious if they could knock the Warriors out the playoffs and they make the play-in game, but we'll see. I don't know. We need to turn it around very quickly here.
Yeah, I just don't think they have enough time now because I think there's only what, like 4 or 5 games left. I mean, they fought for it. They got close. And it was just one of those things where they ran into like a little harder part of their schedule with, the Thunder, and then they had the Mavericks and
They played Minnesota last night, I think.
Minnesota. They have a valiant effort. Good news is hopefully they can trade some of their picks this year, and kind of stock up for 2025. Sengun's coming back. I think it was a great push. It's something they can build on for next year. The Warriors have just taken care of business the last couple of games. They beat the Heat. They beat the Bucks last night or the night before. So I just think it's too little too late. And the NBA wanted the Lakers and Warriors in that. That's going to be probably one of the most watched almost playoff games because it's a one game playoff to see who can survive and play the 8 seed, or for the 8 seed.
What do you think about the rumor of for the Rockets, supposedly it's floating around that they may trade Sengun and Jalen Green for a superstar, like a one of the names that was thrown out there was, I don't believe this may be too low, but Mikal Bridges was one.
How are you better with Mikal Bridges than you are with? That's wild. No, not for both of them. Unless
right.
you get draft picks, and you get Mikal Bridges for maybe one of them. But like, why would you trade? I think one of the two may end up getting traded because they play the same position. Unless they can figure out how to play with each other, that's wild to trade him for Mikal. Like, I thought you were gonna say like Kyrie or KD or somebody.
Yeah,
Like,
well, I well
I
one
ain't
of them.
trading any of those two dudes unless you give me a haul of draft picks and a top 25 to 30 superstar.
Yeah, one of them was another one was maybe Trae Young, and I think Devin Booker was also floated around. I think those were the three.
Then what are you gonna do with Fred Van Fleet?
That's right, exactly. So who's the one? And I think from a pure point guard perspective, is a better pure point guard, but obviously Trae Young's a better scorer, but more of a defensive liability. So
Yeah, either one of those are defensive liability. Devin Booker is better defensively, but they're both scoring first point guards. Like, that doesn't help Cam Whitmore. That doesn't help Amad Thompson. That doesn't help anybody. Like, Fred Van Fleet is, he still wants to score, but he's a better traditional point guard than those two. Like, I don't see that making you better or giving you a leap. Just let these guys play out. I mean, they're all young and you have all these draft picks. Like, just let it run its course sometimes, like
I agree.
this thing of getting better overnight is kind of silly.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, as much as you may not like Udoka as a personal personal person, but he's done a great job with this team. Even though he's got his own personal matters, but I think he's done a great job in getting this team developed and even having us where we are for potentially the 10 seed. I think he's done a pretty good coaching job, and he was always a good coach. I don't think that was ever in doubt. It's just, he had off the court stuff. So
Which
we
in
keep.
hindsight, like, I get it, but like, I don't know. If I'm the Celtics, I may be like kicking myself,
Yeah.
letting him go over that. I
Well,
mean, I
if
guess you
it,
kind
if
of had
this,
to, I guess, but.
yeah. I mean, you had to. Well, because the rumor was it was she's related to someone in like management, right? Or something. She was like somebody's
Oh, okay.
daughter,
I don't know.
cousin.
I didn't
Yeah.
get all into that. So
Yeah.
like that far, but like that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. So he had to go in that sense because it was she was related to someone in the organization and that, that he was just like, that can't happen. He's got to go. But he's done a great job, and we'll actually see how much it does come back to bite them, because this year the Celtics are steamrolling through people with Joe Mazzulla as the head coach. And if they somehow trip up and don't make the finals, like, I mean, you got to start questioning, right? Like, this is the best the Celtics have looked the entire time they've had this Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown combination. Now that Porzingis is there too, is it just a basically collision course for them in Denver in the NBA Finals? Does anyone have a chance?
I
I
mean,
don't
of
think
course
so.
everyone has a chance because I mean, you thought that last year and then the Celtics
Exactly.
blew it against, the Heat. I mean, Embiid came back or is coming back tonight or something like that, so that's always a thing, but it's still to me it's Celtics and Nuggets versus everyone because as much as I hate saying this, I think the Timberwolves and the Thunder are just too young. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
the NBA is one of those leagues where like you got to take your lumps in the playoffs because it revs up like tenfold from the regular season to the playoffs. That's why even with the Celtics right now, I'm like, that's cool. You're all doing all this stuff in the regular season. Y'all been in the conference finals six times or whatever, and you've been in the NBA finals once, like. If
Yeah.
they don't win the title, it's a failure to me.
Yeah.
Like the
Oh,
whole season's a
absolutely.
failure. It's one of those
Absolutely.
things at this point. Like, that's cool. Y'all keep winning all these regular season games. You're running away with the East and all that. You've already locked up home court, but it doesn't matter if you can't finish the job. They haven't finished the job yet.
Yeah, and the way they play kind of bothers me, man. They take the most threes in the league, and they make the most threes, to be fair. They take the most and make the most. But in the playoffs, man, you gotta It slows down. Those threes aren't as open. You got to have some presence inside. You got to get to the rim. And it comes down to what we always say about the Celtics, right? Are you tough enough, man? At the end of the day, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, two of all people, because he can get a little, I don't want to say soft, but he can get, by bigger bodies, he can be influenced. All these guys have to be able to take those lumps and be able to put their head down and go to the rim when necessary. And I think that's where a lot of people get mad at the Celtics, because they do this in the regular season, and then they go into the playoffs and people really watch them and they keep doing what they've been doing all year. The shots just don't fall. And then everyone's like, well, they're choking, right? They suck. And their game hasn't changed. It's just that in the playoffs, it's just harder to do. You're just not as open from the three. Those plays just aren't there. And people get time to study what you do to get those open looks. So I want to see if they can hit the switch. They're going to have to hit the switch if they're going to win the title this year and be able to not rely on that 3-point shot so much and get to the rim. I mean, the only team that has ever relied on it that much and won titles is the Warriors. The Rockets couldn't do it. And they were the start of that with Harden and all them boys. So it's very difficult to do, and only one team has done it successfully consistently. And I want to see if the Celtics, maybe they can do that. Maybe it's, they're the next version of that Warriors team or whatever. But they take a ton of threes, and that could come back to bite them for sure. So Denver doesn't have that problem. Denver's got this dude named Jokic, but we're going to have to start talking about if he wins another title. I mean,
I
just
mean,
goats? Like, I mean, is he getting up there to like
yeah,
rarefied
the
air?
crazy thing, if he wins another title, the crazy thing is the dude's only like 27. The only thing that's going to stop him from like elevating that GOAT category is I don't know how much longer he actually wants to play. Like, he could
Yeah.
literally just stop playing when he's like 33. He can just be like, all right, I'm cool. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back home and chill my horses, you know?
Yeah,
Like, he
right.
literally could just dip.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing with him is like
And
he can leave pretty much in his prime if he wanted to and be okay with it.
right. He's one of those scary players. Like, as soon as Denver maybe turns a corner, I mean, I don't think this will happen. Let's say Jamal Murray wants to get traded, or the team shuffles and he's not having fun anymore. He'll be that dude that's like, yo, I don't need to do this. This doesn't need to be a grind like this for me. I'm gonna go home and hang out with my horses and eat some fruit. Like, I don't know. Like, he could just chill out somewhere else. But I think as long as it's fun for him and this team is executing at this level, I think he'll stick around. But he just makes the game so much easier for everybody else, man. Every time I watch this dude, I'm like, how do you see so much of the court? These passes. He doesn't even run, he doesn't jump, but yet he drops 35. Like, what is going on? But yeah, if he wins on
Yeah,
the
he's
title,
unbelievable.
yeah, he's no one wants to talk about it. I don't think he gets enough coverage. We're still over here talking about LeBron and Steph as they fucking collapse before our eyes. But Jokic is it should be the star of this league because it's insane how well he's playing consistently over this time. And if he wins another title, I don't think people are going to be able to ignore it. You just can't. Like, how you can't ignore it. How great this guy is. Woo! All right, we're through. We got through these topics nice and easy. That's our show for today. Teddy, do you have anything for the people?
Man, y'all have fun watching the last bit of basketball before it turns into a bit of a nothing. Then we just got NBA basketball, and then spring football if you're into that kind of stuff. But nah, stay safe out there. Appreciate y'all as always.
Yep, well said. You're right. After this point, it's a little bit of early season baseball. Astros need to turn it around. Can't start the season like we have, but there's a lot of baseball games. If anything, there are a lot of games. So plenty of time for those Astros. But y'all enjoy the warming up weather. Y'all stay safe out there. Keep watching your sports and keep it 100 with yourself and your family and your people. And until then, we will see y'all next time.
Peace out.